they're pulling up a presentation. Tonight, as I mentioned this morning, I said we were going to have a simple message on the life of Mary. And by simple, I meant we're going to read a lot of scripture because, quite honestly, I can't see it any better than the Bible itself says it. So we're going to be reading a lot of scripture tonight. For whatever reason, during Christmas, as I was reading through some passages, Mary just leapt out at me. And I'll share the particular verse later on that really just spoke to my heart and made me think just what kind of woman was Mary? Mary's one of those folks in the Bible that we actually know an awful lot about. In fact, many of your non-Christian friends will know Mary just because they'll know the general Christmas story. So she's a good way, if you're looking to witness, to establish some common ground. She's also a great example of, you know, since the beginning of time, God has chosen unlikely people to do unimaginable things. You know, God never seems to choose who we would think would be the strongest, the biggest leader. But he always chooses those who we may perceive have weakness. And Mary can fit into that category. So if you ever think you have nothing to offer or an unlikely candidate for something, watch out, because God may just have something in mind for you because you fit those same characteristics. As I went to research Mary, though, there were a couple things I did want to go through. I realized you really do need to be careful when you're looking at things about Mary. There's a lot of misinformation out there about her. As we said, we know a lot about her compared to other folks in the Bible. But Mary's also a character, a person where there's just been some things written about her and said that just really don't have a biblical basis. And as we constantly mention, we go to the Bible for our source of truth about everything. So the things tonight I want to talk to you about are things that are presented in Scripture. But I did want, as I was going through and I tried to sort through all the things I was finding on Mary, I did see a lot of misconceptions. So depending on your background, some of these may sound familiar, some of them may not, but I kind of just wanted to touch real quick on misconceptions about Mary that are out there that, you know, we're not going to speak on in detail, but I wanted you to be aware of. One of the first ones out there is some things will tell you that Mary was sinless. Now, we know from the Bible and Scriptures that only Jesus Christ was sinless. Jesus was the only human that ever lived that was without sin. There's no biblical basis for it, and it was actually started, I think, by Pope Pius XI in 1854. So it has not been around, that doctrine like that long. But you will see that if you go to some sites proclaiming Mary to be sinless, and that's not really the case. Something else you'll hear is the Assumption of Mary, and this is the piece that after death, Mary was assumed into heaven and is exalted as queen of all things. And again, that is something that does not have a biblical basis at all. In fact, the Bible doesn't mention Mary's death, so we don't know when she passed or, you know, any of the circumstances surrounding it. But this is something you'll also kind of have to be careful of depending where you go and you look for information. There's also this idea of perpetual virginity, belief that Mary remained a virgin all her life. And that is directly contradicted in Scripture. There are several passages that mention Jesus had brothers and sisters, and Mary had, you know, sons and daughters. So again, that's another one that recently has comes about. And the last one, all these are dangerous, but I think this one's particularly dangerous. It says Mary has been ascribed as a cooperative role in the work of salvation, like a co-redemptrix or advocate. And if you read some of the information on that, they'll say, well, no, not taking the place of Jesus, but maybe just like a half step below, kind of saying that Mary is an extra intercessor for us. That's not the case at all. As we read in 1 Timothy 2:5-6, it says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. So to be very clear, you know, Jesus Christ died for our sins. He is our only mediator with God. He is the only way through to salvation. You know, Mary had a role in raising Jesus and being his mother, but it ends there. She is not an extra heavenly person or an angel or anything like that. So, but enough about who Mary wasn't and things about her. Let's talk about who was Mary. As I mentioned before, Mary was really kind of an unlikely person. She was young, she was poor, and she was female. which during that time period of her day, that would not make her the ideal candidate to do something powerful and amazing for God. Now, her direct parents aren't mentioned, but we know she grew up in Nazareth. And, you know, coming to church, a lot of us, you know, we've heard of Nazareth all the time because that's where Jesus was from. But back in the times there, Nazareth was a very small community. It was not well thought of. In fact, when Nathanael was called to be a disciple, when Philip came to pull him and say, hey, come see Jesus of Nazareth, he exclaimed, Nazareth, can anything good come out of there? So it wasn't really the type of place you would go to look for someone to do amazing things for God. So, but let's read a little bit about from the beginning. We'll talk about Mary and what she's done. I put the scriptures up on the board. I was feeling aggressive. You'll see later in the presentation, I got tired of copying and pasting, so you will need your Bibles later, but for now we'll be lazy. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. So in verse 28, we see Mary's highly favored. That means Mary had been given much grace and unmerited favor from God. God saw something special in her heart, and he chose her for a special purpose. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Which is, you know, it kind of points out God's favor doesn't automatically bring like instant success or anything. But I think this is also a good indication of her humbleness and her humility. She's thinking, what, me? Troubled? She obviously had a good idea also of just what the angel was saying. It really meant something to her. It really gives a good insight to her heart. She did have a heart after God. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. Now, what a thing to hear from Mary. And as we read Scripture, we've got to be very careful, too. We know the end of the story. You know, we know that Mary's going to give birth to Jesus. He's going to minister. He's going to die for our sins. We know the end. But to Mary, this is all brand new. You know, think about that. This is something. She doesn't know how things are going to end or how things are going to progress. So it's easy to see how she could be troubled and amazed by this news. So as we read through Mary's story, try really to put yourself in her position and try to think of, gee, if I'm hearing this for the first time, what am I thinking? How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin? The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. If you don't have verse 37 underlined in your Bible, you really should. That's a fantastic verse. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her. So we can see at the beginning, Mary is still a little bit confused, wondering how in the world is this going to happen. And as we're going to see as a pattern in her life, God gives her this news that he is also going to send people and circumstances into her life to reinforce that he is with her and he has not abandoned her or left her. And all she needs to do is keep obeying him and trusting in him, which is a really good metaphor for our life. As we go through and we talk about Mary, think about all of the different times through your life, the ups and downs you've had, and the times God has sent someone into your life that you know, looking back, that God purposely put that person there, or God purposely put that message into your life. God doesn't abandon us. Sometimes when we're sorrow and it weighs us down, we need to be like Mary and kind of patiently wait for God to work out his plan. I think verse 38 is really key here too. Mary's submission was part of God's plan to bring about our salvation. You know, as we read through Mary, she is an excellent example. She always responds with faith and obedience when called by the Lord. So Mary goes, and she goes to visit Elizabeth. immediately after this. And we'll pick up. I want to read to you a little bit about what Elizabeth said when she saw Mary. It said, "At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished.'" Now, as we had mentioned, the angel cited Elizabeth as this is going to be a miracle because Elizabeth was barren and she's now with child. You know, so Elizabeth is already knowing God is doing wondrous things. And it's fantastic that as soon as Mary comes in, the Holy Spirit comes upon Elizabeth and the baby John the Baptist leaps in her womb. What a fantastic sign to Mary, again, building Mary up, a message from God that I have not left you. Just think about it. Mary hasn't talked to Elizabeth at all. It's not like she emailed her or sent her a text and said, "Hey, guess what? I'm going to have the child of God." As soon as she entered the womb, the baby leaps. This is also the Song of Mary, and it gives this is probably one of the largest pieces of dialogue we have from Mary in the scripture, but it gives a great example of just her heart and what she thought. Starting in verse 46, "And Mary said, 'My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers.'" In the first part, Mary says, "From now on, all generations will call me blessed." Now, initially, if you read that, you could think, well, you know, is she really bragging? No, she's really recognizing and accepting the gift God had given her. You know, if she had denied any of these things or been falsely humble, that would have been pride, and that would have kind of been throwing God's blessing back at him. But she actually accepted the gifts God has given her. What a great lesson for us. Sometimes we all have gifts. You know, God has made you for a specific purpose, and he has made you the way you are for a specific reason. He has given you all kinds of gifts. How many times in life are we really hesitant to acknowledge the gifts we have? You know, sometimes we don't think we do them well, but they're still gifts. God knows you so well. He knows every hair on your head. He has a specific purpose for you. Don't ever deny or belittle the gifts God's given you. Thank God for him and use them to his greater glory. You may not think they're good enough. Mary certainly was not a superhuman type person, but she responded with faith and obedience and used her gifts for the Lord. Again, I said we're going to read a lot of scripture. We're going to keep going for a little bit. Again, I'd love to read the whole story of Mary, but obviously we don't have enough time for that tonight. But this is a passage I do want us to look at. So take out your Bibles and pull this one up. This is also a passage that many of your non-believing friends may have some awareness of. This is a story of, well, this is the part where the angels appear to the shepherds out in the field. This is also the part, if you ever watch a Peanuts Christmas, this is the part that Linus quotes. So that's why I say a lot of your unbelieving friends may unknowingly know this passage. So, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger."
Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. And I want to point out, verse 19, Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. When I read that this past Christmas, I was a worship assistant. Then this was a scripture Pastor Bob used in his sermon, and that verse just leapt out at me. As many times as I had read this passage, I had never really concentrated on that verse, but it just jumped out at me, and I thought to thinking, Mary, the shepherds have seen this glorious vision. They have come and told Mary, and after they see Mary, they're going out and telling everyone about, we've seen the Messiah, the coming King. And Mary has had a vision from God. She's Elizabeth's interaction with Elizabeth, prophesying her baby is indeed the Messiah. But yet she treasures these things, but she ponders them in her heart. And I thought, that's kind of how we feel sometimes, isn't it? You know, we believe in Jesus. We believe he died for us. But sometimes we just don't understand what's going on in our life. We have to sit and ponder. We don't understand why God is working this way. I mentioned we need to slow down sometimes and think about how the people really felt at those times in the Bible. They're not that different from you and I. Sometimes I think we fall into the trap of thinking, well, this happened thousands of years ago and times were just so different. This really wasn't that different. When you think about Mary up to this point, what's happened, she has almost lost her fiancé, you know, because as we said, Joseph found out they had not been together. She was going to have a baby before they were married, you know, and at that time there was even much more of a stigma around having a baby out of wedlock than there was today. Mary was, at that time, a woman could be destitute for the rest of her life in that circumstance, but yet God came and rescued her, sent an angel to speak to Joseph to tell him, no, go ahead. So she has seen God work a miracle in that way. But she's also still suffered, you know, people gossiping. Nazareth was a small town. You know, word was going to get out about that. She's also had, while she was pregnant, to make an arduous journey down to Bethlehem. She didn't live in Bethlehem. While she was pregnant, she now has had to have her baby in a strange city without her loved ones around in a stable. So think about that. I don't think the conditions were kind of like the cute little manger scenes we see all the time. She actually had to have a baby in a stable. So all of the women out here who have had a baby before, imagine what that would be like going and having your baby in a stable. That probably is not something that would fly real well today. I don't think she was in that great of a mood for part of that. And then all of a sudden, under those conditions, here come these guys that were standing out in a field that they don't know, and they're saying, God has revealed to us, this is Christ the King. This was the baby. So, again, that's a low and an up. So I think that's why kind of Mary was pondering a little bit in her heart. She still definitely believed, but she was thinking, why in the world are the events happening? Like, what is going on? Doesn't that just sound so familiar? As I mentioned, we don't have time to rip through all of the parts, but let's hit a couple of the highlights of Mary's life. And as we see, Mary's life is a lot like ours. There's going to be a lot of ups, and there's going to be a lot of downs. One of the first ups would be she continued to build her faith during the dedication at the temple. Days after his birth, Simeon praises God, revealing that Jesus is the Messiah. Now, those of you who will remember, Simeon was a man who was told by God he would not die until he had seen the Messiah. So he didn't know Mary and Joseph, and they come in, to the city, and all of a sudden, he recognizes them, comes up to them, and one acknowledges that Jesus is the gift of God, Jesus is the light of the world. And at least, and the third big thing with this is the second time that someone has just come up to Mary directly and given her a greeting saying, I know that that baby you're carrying is the Messiah, the Son of God. What a fantastic experience for Mary to build her up. You know, God sensed in her heart she was pondering. I'm sure she had reached out in prayer to God. What a great model for us whenever we're struggling these things, to constantly reach out to God, and he'll do amazing things. But Simeon also prophesizes suffering for Mary. I should mention real quick before, during the first part, the exact words in the scripture are, the child's mother and father marveled at what was said about him. So they were really, they were beyond pleased with what Simeon said. They were amazed. But then Simeon also tells her, And a sword will pierce your own soul too. So think about that for a second. As a young mother with a baby, 8 days old, being told, because of the child, a sword will pierce your own soul too. So a sword is going to pierce her child's soul and your soul too. Imagine what that does to your insides. Imagine what that does to how you feel. As Jesus' mother, it showed Mary was going to be very grieved by the widespread rejection Jesus would face later in life. God was giving her a little bit of a warning to what would happen. And then Magi, or wise men, travel thousands of miles to see and worship Jesus. So again, all of a sudden, these royalty and dignitaries show up to worship her child. You know, now, think about that today. You were at home, and all of a sudden, some diplomats come, burst down your door and say, hey, we're here. I mean, I don't think that happened a whole lot in Nazareth, folks. What an amazing experience to Mary. And again, God showing her that what I have said is true. I am still with you. But again, the down part of it is Mary and Joseph are going to have to flee because of this. Herod the Great knows that the Magi have come into his territory. He said, when you find the king, let me come too, so I'd like to worship him also. But they knew better. They knew what an evil man Herod was, and they tricked him. When Herod found out, this is the part where he said, hey, we're going to go and we're going to kill all the boys age 2 and under. But God takes care of Mary and Joseph and warns them, and they're able to get Jesus to safety in Egypt. After a couple years, Herod dies, and God tells Joseph to return to Israel, to come back, it's okay. But he gives him special direction not to return to the region of Archelaus. Now, Archelaus was actually a son of Herod. Now, when Herod the Great, he had a lot of favor with Rome. Rome trusted him very much, but he also knew that Rome did not like his sons. And he knew Rome wouldn't give them the same amount of power he had, so he divided his kingdom up. And Archelaus was one of his sons, and he received Judea, Samaria, and Idumea. His brother Herod Antipas received Galilee and Perea, and his brother Herod Philip received an area called Trachonitis. Now, none of these guys were good guys, I don't think, but he was particularly bad. He opened up his reign by slaughtering 3,000 influential people. So he becomes king, and immediately just 3,000 people, I guess he thought were competitors or something, he just goes and slaughters. So God was making sure that Joseph and Mary were not going to wander back into a danger area. Let's get to a little more. When Jesus is 12, Mary and Joseph lose him at the temple. They travel for, so they had gone for the sacrifices, and they traveled for a day, and then they realized Jesus isn't with them. Now, it wasn't that just the three of them were supposed to be walking together and those two walked for a full day and then said, oh, hey, Jesus isn't here. But, you know, they traveled in large groups with other relatives. So it was a large group for safety, I assume, and so forth. And then they realized Jesus isn't there. So they have to travel back to a huge city, Jerusalem, and then they search for 3 days. So imagine losing your child for over 4 days. Imagine what was running through the mind of Mary and Joseph as the possible consequences of where Jesus could be. How terrifying that experience is. And then when they find Jesus, this is what he says. When they found him, well, I'll read you the whole passage. Every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. And listen to this. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, this is, in this passage, we start to realize Jesus is aware of who he is and what his mission is going to be. Mary and Joseph still don't quite understand everything that's going to come about. They still don't truly understand the details of God's plan. Again, that's so very similar to us. We know in the end the goal, but we don't know the small details leading up to God's plan. The passage ends with, "Then they went down to He went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them." Now listen to this. "But his mother treasured all these things in her heart." There's that again. She treasured these things in her heart. One of the things we need to be a little bit better at doing, I would say, is treasuring the signs that God gives us and all the blessings in our heart. You know, we live in a fast-paced culture. We tend to, you know, things come in and out, and we're gone. Take some time to meditate and to thank God and praise Him and really hold on to those special things He's done in your life. They can be used as a powerful witness to others, but they also can be used in your own times of trouble to remember that God has done these wonderful things for me. He's not going to leave me. Verse 52 of that says, "And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men." So we don't hear much more from Mary and Joseph and Jesus for another 18 years. But it says Jesus grows in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. So it wasn't like they just moved to a remote corner of the world and never heard from them again. Jesus grew in wisdom, stature, favor with God and men. So Mary would have been very proud of the man Jesus was becoming. I think these were probably very happy years in Mary's lifetime. Mary's also going to see Jesus actually perform a miracle. He's going to turn water to wine at the wedding in Cana. And for sure she's going to hear of all the other miracles he's doing in his ministry. The joy in our heart knowing that he's fulfilling, he's actually going to be showing now he truly is God's son. He is the Messiah. But as his ministry grows, it's going to cause angst in their immediate family. Remember what Simeon said, their heart was going to be pierced also. We also know, as Scripture tells us, that during his earthly ministry, Jesus' brothers did not believe in him. They kind of thought he was out there. Mary is going to experience having a family divided. On the one hand, she knows who Jesus is, and she knows he's the Messiah. She doesn't know the final steps. On the other hand, she's going to have her other children saying, "What is going on?" If you've ever had a black sheep in the family, someone who just seems to be off on their own, maybe your brothers, sisters. If you don't know of one, maybe you are the black sheep in your family and just don't know it. That can tear a family apart. And that's part of what Mary is going to experience in her life. But Mary also lives to know that Jesus rises from the grave. And think about what a blessing that is from God, from what all Mary has been through. She actually lives to know that Jesus rises from the grave. It tells us in Acts she was there with the disciples, and Jesus' brothers are now believers. Jesus appears to his brother James, in fact, and they become leaders in the early church. What a blessing it is when our own children come to the Lord Jesus and achieve salvation and accept him for salvation. I can only imagine the joy Mary had at this. Oops. I missed the last one. Probably one, I skipped over that when Mary lives to see him, but probably the worst part of Mary's life was seeing Jesus on the cross. You know, we've talked before about the details about what scourging is and how Jesus was beaten, how flesh was ripped from the bone, how many people didn't survive that part, and then to have to watch him hang on a cross there and suffer. You know, imagine doing that to your own child. But then, again, the blessing, and she does live to see his victory, to see him alive again. So in summary, a couple of things to keep in mind about Mary. Sometimes submission to an uncomfortable circumstance is part of God's plan. Strive to respond with faith and obedience. Our lives are going to be a series of ups and downs. Just because we come to Christ with, you know, and are saved by him, that doesn't mean things are going to be easy. But try follow Mary's example and respond with faith and obedience. And rely on God to show you through those times. And don't belittle or ignore your gifts. Again, thank God for them and use them for his glory. He made you for a very special purpose. He knows you better than you know yourself. And he has an explicit purpose for your life and can use any of your talents. Treasure the promises of God in your heart. Don't read over them quickly. Meditate on them. Think about and thank the Lord for all of the wonderful things he does in your life. God keeps his promises to us. Treasure those. And the other one comes from Pastor Bob this morning. As he was speaking about Thomas and his doubts. I really like this, and I think it definitely applies to Mary's life also and ours. God doesn't ask us to fully understand him. He asks us to fully trust him. You know, we're not going to know all of the details of the plan. We're just not. It's too much for us. But don't feel when you hit those like, God, I just don't know. These doubts are creeping in. Realize it's not your job to know all the details of the plan. But it is your job to trust the Lord, to know that he is in charge and he will never leave you or forsake you. So let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for coming so long ago to save us from our sins. Lord, we just thank you for examples of godly people such as Mary to show us just how well you take care of us, Lord. And Lord, I would just pray that every person here tonight would respond with the faith and obedience of Mary when called upon by you to serve you in the world. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Shelley mentioned we're going to have our offertory now. So if the ushers would come forward.